Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's what Christians do. They walk after the Spirit. That's how you can tell if you're a Christian. But that the grammar in the Greek is a positive, which means those that are in Christ Jesus are not in Adam. They're no longer part of the green line below, but they're part of the red little circle that's been called out. So this red circle, I'll make black around it so you can see it. Anyway, this right here, any darker colors. Anyway, that's the church called out of the world. We are no longer part of this world, so we are the ones that are in Christ. So this is the in Christ group, in Christ. And this is Christ here, so we're in him, in his heart, right there. So he's got us there in the heart. And we're no longer in the world. Now, he's called the prototokos, which I'll explain in a minute. But because we are the church of the firstborn, that means we're ecclesia prototokos, the church of the firstborn. We're going to see that in the verses we're going to read today. So, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which means, colon, who walk not after the flesh, that's us, but we walk after the Spirit. Why do you walk after the Spirit rather than after the flesh? Because some of you think you're walking after the flesh. Some of you psychologically and physically are thinking, well, I don't walk after the Spirit. I'm supposed to. I do sometimes, but I think I walk after the flesh a lot. So I wonder if there's condemnation for me. Nope, none. Why? Because you don't walk after the flesh. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because Jesus doesn't. Well, what does that have to do with me? Well, everything. Because if you're in Christ and he doesn't walk after the flesh, then neither do you. And that's who you are. You're no longer you. You're now a new you. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So, if you're a new creation, then you're not an old creation. You're no longer an Adam. You were an Adam. The rest of the world still is an Adam, but you're not. You've been born again. So you're a new creation, and the Greek word for creation is katesis. So katesis has to do with something not just new, but brand new. New of a different quality or a different kind. So naos, that's new, regular. That's like this one's new, but it's the same as the other ball, it's the same as the other ball, and so on. But it's not brand new. This one is brand new of a different kind than ever before. There's never been a ball like this one. So this new creation is nothing like the old creation. It's qualitatively different. Absolutely strange. So you are a new creation. Say it. I'm a new creation. Now, because you say it doesn't make it so, but if it is so, you said it. Now, a new creation means you're not subject any longer to the law of sin and death, because the old creation is still under the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. You sin, you die. You sin, you die. You do a little bitty sin, you're dead. You do a big sin, you're dead. So there's no difference. So you can do a big sin, you can do a lot of sins, you can do a few sins. If you do any sin, you're not perfect, you're dead. But the new creation is perfect, because Jesus is perfect, and he follows his Father who's perfect. And only ones that go to heaven are perfect. So that red box, or red circle, or whatever, that's the church that's in Christ, not the world that is against Christ or not in Christ. They're still an Adam. So they're subject to the old law. We have a new law. So the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit of life, because Jesus is alive, how many know Jesus is alive? He died. That was to take you out. And then now that he's got you, now he's not a priest shedding his blood for you. Now he's a king, lording it over, dominating you. But no, it's no domination at all because my husband. I mean, Peggy loves to submit to me. She loves it. She loves, you know, allowing me to lord it over her. Why? Because what it means is I get to serve her. You all see that? And that was my job is to never take care of myself because Jesus takes care of me. And so my job is to bless her and to love her and to serve her and never to think about myself. See? Do you all see that? So she loves to submit to that. Yeah, give me more. Serve me all you want. Do y'all see that? So I don't get to speak my own words because I'm no longer part of the world. And even if I do, it's just a sin. And if it's just a sin, that means the Holy Spirit will convict me of it. And then I'll say I'm sorry. And then that's the end of that. Goodbye. And I'm not part of that. So that's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, I live by faith that Jesus Christ is my righteousness. So it's Christ in me loving Peggy. It's not me loving Peggy. It's Christ in me loving Peggy. And since he loves her perfectly, then I love her perfectly. See, even though I may not see it and she may not see it, she has to believe it and I have to believe it. Y'all see that? Now, that language you may not like, but, you know, it's really none of your business. That's the way God wants to do it. See, she's not really asking if you like his new talk. You know, this is the way he did it. Now, and the alternative is not good. If you want to be part of the old creation and then, you know, you had to be perfect under that one in case you goof up, it's not graded on a curve or anything like that. It's an absolute. If you're perfect, you go to heaven. But if you just have one flaw, if you have one sin, you're out. You're just out. So I would, you know, if you flunk that course, which I did, but if you flunk that course, I'd go to the remedial group, you know, which is Jesus redeeming out of the world those that believe that he, the teacher, is actually doing all the problems for you. He's solving everything for you. He is your goodness. He is everything you want. He has a new heart and so on and so forth. And all you got to do is believe in that, that Jesus was good, but not for himself. He was good for me. So I want you to say it. Jesus was good for me. It wasn't just good. He was perfect. Therefore, since I believe in him who is perfect, that he was perfect for me, therefore I'm perfect. Say it. I'm perfect. Now, I don't look like it. I don't even act like it. I don't even understand it. But still, nevertheless, I believe it. And if I believe, I will see the glory of God. Not in heaven. I'll see it in the land of the living. So I see him working in me so that even when I do wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, Jim, I forgive you for that. So he's got it covered. But I'm also going to transform you. Why? Because you can't go into heaven like you are. And so I'm going to give you a new body. And by the time the trump sounds, I get a brand new body. And then I'll have a new soul because he's working on that every day. And I already have a new heart. So I'm a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Amen? So does that all make sense? All right. Now, there's therefore now no condemnation for them in that circle. There's no condemnation for the church. There's no condemnation for this church of the firstborn. Now, he's the firstborn. Only that's not what it says. It's interesting. This word, proto, is first. And tokos is begotten, okay? It's not really born. But that would be in the past. But what it really means is it doesn't mean prototokos. It's really proto, and I told you, katesis, KT. And this word then means he is the first one, not only in time, you know, like he was born of Mary, okay? That's Luke 2:7. But in Luke 1, it actually says in verse 35, it says that he's the Son of God. In other words, Joseph's not his dad. So even though he's born of Mary and he's her firstborn, it's actually God's son. So that means he's lived for all eternity. So he's not born like anyone else is born. He's born of a woman, but he's not born of a husband. So he is actually God's son who overshadowed and so on and so forth. And this is the same word, prototokos, which means he is not like you and me. He is totally different than you and me. Why? Because he is the first begetter. That's different than begotten. So he's the one that, even though Mary birthed him with a physical birth, he's actually born from heaven, which means he's not born at all. He's been there, and so he is the creator. He is not the created. So this word, prototokos, means, in the original, that he was never made. It does not mean that he was made. So he's not the beginning of creation really should be translated because it's the same word, and it's in 20-some times in the New Testament. It actually means He created the natural world, everything under the green, and he also created the little red circle that I made up there, which is the church. So everybody in the church is a new creation that he alone created. That is, the Father, through the Son, through the Spirit, created us. So we're born of the Spirit, we're of Jesus in Christ, and we're really children of the Father. So that's a new creation. You're not made by God, green line, but you're made of God, red. You see that? By the blood of Jesus. So because of that, you don't have to understand it, you just have to hear it, that there's a difference. So if you're born again, whether you look like it or not, whether you act like it or not, whether you understand it or not, most Christians don't. Most Christians haven't even been taught this because the pastor doesn't know. If the pastor knew, he would teach it. I'm sure he doesn't know, so he doesn't teach it. But prototokos then means the first one, not only first in time, but also first in dignity or value or worth. In other words, he's the preeminent one. In other words, he's not some kind of Gnostic emanation from the real God. He's actually God himself. En arche en hologos proston theon. In the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word, in the beginning, that became flesh, that Word, Jesus, became what? He was God. Proston theon. He himself is deity. He's the same. The Holy Spirit's deity. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three persons in that one God. So you're baptized into the name, singular, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, plural. So God is both singular and plural. It's a singular noun, you see. But you're also plural in the fact that there's a Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all working to bring about your creation, your original creation, now a new creation. But Jesus, then, is the primary one. He's the begetter of a new race of men. And you're that new race. How? By faith. You're not part of the old world. Sin and death, that's over for you. Even though you still sin because it looks like you're part of the old world, don't believe it. God has said, Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Don't even look at your unrighteousness. Don't even look at how righteous you thought you were. You're not. He is. Because he's perfect. Yours, even if you could do a little bit of good, which you can't, but even if you could, it's not perfect, but Jesus is. So you're part of a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Do you all believe that? Do you all believe that? I mean, it doesn't matter if you like the idea or it makes sense to you. That's what God said. Now, you can argue with God. That puts you under the green line. You can argue with God, and you can try to defeat it or try to change it or try to understand it or whatever. You're never going to understand it. Here's what you can understand. If you sin, you die. Now, you can understand that. If you just make one little small sin, has anybody done one of those? Yeah. So that's it. Now, you can understand that. But listen to this one. This is about the new people. This is about the new creation. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Let's hear about that one. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. That's the green people. But you walk after the Spirit. Now, then that a positive is colon. In Christ means you don't walk after the flesh anymore. You're not part of the flesh world. You're not part of this world. You're not part of the sin and death law. You have a new law. The law of Christ Jesus, which is the law of life in Christ Jesus, because he's alive. So the rest of this world is going to die, perish, pass away, right? That's its destiny. That's its destiny. And God created that world. It was made by him, but it was not made of him. We are made not just by him, but of him. That's a difference. So now you're part of that new creation simply by doing nothing. You absolutely did nothing to become part of it, but you believe that Jesus, who was before the world began, that Jesus came and created a new world, and you are the creation of that new world. So it's a whole new creation, but not new turtles, not new stones, not new clouds. We're still living in the green world of turtles and clouds and so on. But a new people, because it's the people that's the problem in this world. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's not crickets. They're not bothering anybody. People are the problem. So he decided, because it was his original idea to have a cricket, and no cricket has ever sinned. The crickets have done great. And the rocks, they've never sinned. And the trees and the bushes. But they perish because they're part of the visible world, and that is perish and pass away. So he decided that mankind was unique, and he made him after the image and likeness of God. Image in the Greek is icon, E-I-K-O-N, but we say icon, but we say it in English, icon. So an icon is a representation of something else among men. But in Jesus' case, he is the perfect icon of the Heavenly Father. In other words, he's exactly like him. They said, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied, as though he represented the Father. He said, oh no, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because the Father speaks through me, the Father acts through me, and everything that I do is him. You can't see the Father apart from me. So this Jesus has started a new creation, and you are that new creation, David. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even act it. You just simply believe it, that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he did that for you. When he rose from the dead, he did that for you. When he lives now through you, through the Holy Ghost, he did that for you. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to do it because he's already alive. In fact, he's the creator. Did you know that all the world, the green world, all the world was created by him and for him? And yet man fell away. Crickets didn't. So crickets are all right. They never sinned. When an alligator eats you up, he's just doing what alligators do. It's no sin. Now, if you eat somebody up, that's a sin. You see, you're not supposed to. And when you devour your neighbor and criticize and despise and look down on him, you failed because God would never have done that. God would not have done that. So you, being the highest of creation, the one made in his image, you look like him, and likeness, you have failed because you lost the image. First story in the book. Remember first story in the book? As soon as she ate the apple, she lost the image. In other words, she no longer looked like or acted like God. And then Adam, he took the same thing. So they lost the image of God. So you are now marred. You have the image, but it's now stained, marred. Can't go to heaven. So now everybody in the natural world will perish and pass away. And it's going to happen soon. So that means we're at the end of the end of the end of the end of the end. So we're getting close to the end. Now this is still what you call the beginning of the end. I mean, there's still a lot more. But still, we're rounding the bend. So we're getting very close. And I told you that this year, and there's only 3 months left, but this year, something powerful is about to happen, and it's going to change the world. And it's going to happen right here in Dallas and Fort Worth for us. Maybe it'll happen everywhere in the world. I don't know. I don't care. But at least it's going to happen here. So he said to us, you know, he wants to enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, reach out to the whole world somehow. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch it out, make it bigger. Don't have a little pup tent, have a big one. Huge tent. How many believe that that could be literal, but it also could be figurative? But it could be literal. But anyway, there really could be a tent. Do you all understand? You don't, but it's okay. Do I speak in riddles? Yes. Why? Because God didn't tell me. That's why. If he wanted me to know, he would have told me, but he didn't. He only told me as much as he wanted me to know, right? So therefore, I'm just telling you something, and I know what I'm saying is from him. I know what I'm telling you is from him. But I'm just telling you, don't be thinking, don't be smart. Just, you don't know what it is, so don't know. But it could be big. It could be so big that we'll break out on the right hand and on the left. Stretch out your cords, strengthen your stakes, go deeper. This time, what God is going to show to the world is that red really isn't the green. And that's what he's going to show. You'll break out spiritually on the right hand, but you'll break out in this world so that they'll know it. You are not like us. You are Christians. You are not part of this world. And that's what you want. And the sign of that will be they'll persecute you. Isn't that exciting? I'll tell you, that is a thrill. Because, you know, there have been some Christians who actually became Christian, born again, and then they still love this world. They weren't supposed to do that. Remember, they're still part of this world. Kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. No. You have to go all the way perfect to become a new creation, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus saves you. You didn't save yourself. Then he transforms you into his likeness, kills off your old man, brings forth your new man. Then you walk in love, led of the Spirit. That's the law of life in Christ Jesus that has set us free. And that should be not for heaven, but that should be now, today, here, right now. So we've got 3 months left. You're in great shape. Got plenty of time. So get rid of all your sin. Don't let it rule over you anymore. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. You know, it's going to be a wonderful time. Get out of debt. Don't owe any man anything. On and on and on. Whatever he's put down, You don't have to do it. You just have to believe it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ will do all that he just said? Whatever he said to do, he'll do. In other words, every command is swallowed up by a promise. Whatever he told you to do, he actually will do, because you can't do it because you're green, or you're red and born again and you're forgiven for it. But after you're forgiven, that's only the first half of the atonement. You're forgiven for all your sins, but you still have them. How many know that after you're born again, you still are proud? You still are afraid. You're still judgmental. You're still critical. You're still depressed. You're still afraid. You're still anxious. You're still part of this world. So he forgives you for that and covers that with the blood of Jesus. That's Jesus as priest. He's your high priest. That's Jesus as the Lamb of God that shed his sin, covers your sin, so you're forgiven. So you're a new creation. But that's only spiritually new. But what about your mind? What about your will? What about your emotions? What about your behavior? What about sanctification and glorification? Well, that's his job too. What he did for you as priest, he will also do for you as Lord or King. Since he's a king, kings tell you what to do. But since I'm a son, because of his priestly role, which forgave me and made me born of God, now I'm part of the family. In fact, I'm his bride, and he's the bridegroom. So I'm so intimate with him, of course, I'm just about to take my chair. Here would be my chair as the queen, as his bride. Here would be his chair as the bridegroom, that is, he is the Son of God, and here would be God, the Father. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. We're at Jesus' right hand. Do you see that? So, as the Father rules the Son, so the Son rules the wife. It's beautiful. But remember, first of all, he's a servant. So as the Father serves the Son, so the Son serves the bride. Perfect. So you see how it works? So headship doesn't mean headship, it means headship. And headship means you're the first one. You get to go first, you see? So I get to suffer first for Peggy. Do you see the beauty of that? That's precious. I love that. Don't you love that? You do? Yeah, praise God. Go. And to do that would be impossible to do unless Jesus took care of all my needs. I would have to take care of my own needs. But because Jesus took care of all my needs, then I have nothing to do. I have nothing to do but to thank him. And as I'm thanking him, he says, give it to Peg. So I was going to give him thanksgiving, but he said, Jim, you have nothing to offer me because I've done everything. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, where do I do with this? Well, give it to Peg. So now, I see. So I give it to Peg. Yeah, and also give it to all the church. Oh, all the church too. Yeah, and also to all people. Oh, all people too. And all my enemies. And oh, golly, I'll run out. No, you won't, because I've given you everything. I've given you everything. I've done everything. Remember when he was on the cross, he said, it's finished? So now, the Father who loves the Son and the Son who loves the bride, the bride's the one that gets it all. Isn't that neat? She's the one that's taking it all in, doing nothing. See, Peggy didn't have to be good for me to love her. She didn't have to be nice. She didn't have to be kind. She didn't have to do anything. Why? Because it's my job to do everything. Just as Jesus' job to do everything for me, as the Father's job is to do everything for Jesus. So as the Father is to the Son, so the Son is to every man, and every man is to his wife. You see? Simple. Now, God then is setting it all up for us to actually look like what we just talked like, so that we actually are experiencing joy unspeakable and full of glory. Has anyone started early? I mean, you got so much joy you can hardly contain yourself. Woo! You're just really excited. You know, it's just terrible. You're just holding yourself back because it's so thrilling. Is anyone here who's thrilled? Now, you are by faith. I don't care that you feel it. I don't care that you understand it. I don't care that you've done it. I'm just telling you that's who you are. You just don't believe you are who you are. So, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And you just don't believe that yet. You believe he lied, but he cannot lie. If Jesus said you're a new creation, then you're a new creation. If the Father accepts what the Son said, remember when Jesus went up to heaven? He saw the blood of Jesus, he saw the crown and saw the nails and all that stuff and saw all the blood. And he just said, you know, I'll bet Jim's okay now. I'll bet Rain is okay now. I'll bet, you know, Brian is okay now. I bet everybody's okay now because you died for everybody. Now, you sure did you get everybody in on that thing? Yep, I did. I told everybody under the green that I was here and I was perfect for them, and now their sins are gone forever. And some of them believed. Paul believed, and Jim believed, and David believed, and so on. Paul believed. So Wow, that's exciting. Some believe. That's amazing. Did you know that God in his foreknowledge, whomever he foreknew, he predestined? Did you know that God in his foreknowledge knew that everybody in the green line who stayed green, did you know he predestined them to be green? He didn't make them be green. He just in his foreknowledge knew they would be green, and he just said, I'm going to create them anyway. Isn't that interesting? See, if I were God, I wouldn't have, you know, why bother to create people who are going to live for a few minutes like a cricket and then they're gone. But he actually created people that were wicked and rebellious and decided, no, I'm going to create them anyway. Because I want them to know I love them and that it was their decision not to believe me. Because their sin is not that they committed adultery. Their sin is not that they stole. Their sin is not that they were proud and exaggerating and believed in the American dream. Their sin was they didn't believe that after they did all those sins, I would forgive them and I would become their righteousness. So now when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. It isn't that they followed Buddha. It isn't that they did anything. It's that he did something and they didn't believe it because they thought they did something. But all you can do is sin, which means to miss the mark. You just didn't hit the mark because when he originally created, his original idea was not that man should sin, but his original foreknowledge was, I know I'll create all mankind and they'll all sin. So his foreknowledge, he knew we'd all sin, but he never made any man sin. Put that tree right in the middle and said, don't. So that was very clear that he didn't want you to. But it's also clear that he isn't going to make you not. So he gave you freedom, unlike crickets. Crickets didn't have any freedom. No cricket has ever had the freedom to sin or not sin. A cricket is a cricket, and they're doing cricket stuff. And they're okay. But people can be inhuman. They're made human, but they could be inhuman. They're sons of God, yet they can act like sons of the devil. You know, it's amazing. So is that the devil's fault? No. The devil just simply, you know, using your own flesh. And everybody had a choice not to follow your flesh. You could have followed the word of God. Remember, he said, don't. Don't do it. And so everybody could have, don't do it, but they did it. Everybody did. Even if you didn't did it, you thought it. And even the thinking of it, that ruins it. If you didn't do it from your heart. So you not only were to love your wife, to love your husband, to submit to one another, you not only were to do it, you were actually to think it, and then feel it, and then do it. So, and you had to do it from the heart. Your whole heart had to be into it, and your whole soul, and your whole strength. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and everything that's in you. In other words, you don't ever get to do your own thing. You always have to do his thing. And that's amazing that there are people on earth that God created and gave them all this stuff, the crickets and the clouds and the trees and all that stuff, birdie, all that nice stuff, and yet they turned against God. Did you know the whole creation is groaning right now for the revealing of the sons of God? There they are, that little red part. They're groaning under the green guys. You know, they're groaning because the whole creation is going, you know, men mess this place up. The crickets are saying it. The grass is saying it. The clouds are saying it. Everybody in creation is saying it. All those invisible and visible things, the stars and the moon, they're all crying. They're groaning. Oh, all because of us. Because we were the only part of creation that didn't do what it was supposed to do. We're the only part that failed. Why? Because we had a high destiny. You remember, he predestined us. Now listen to what it says. He predestined us to be conformed to the image, icon, of Christ, who's the perfect likeness. Now you are not the perfect likeness, but when you are in him, you are. Now if you were in him, you get your image back, which we lost in the creation, and then you get your likeness back through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus as priest gives you a new image. And Jesus as King or Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changes your likeness so that now your soul and your body agrees with your heart. So, spirit, soul, and body, just like he said. Remember, that was his original idea, and he never gives up his original idea. So he isn't taking you back to Adam. That was not his original intention. That was his original creation, but not intention. His creation was not that Adam be innocent. His creation was that Adam be a new man in Christ. Who, after having sinned, this was his intention, after having sinned, why? Because he had foreknowledge. He knew Adam was going to sin. That's why he put the tree right there in the middle. That's why he sends you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Imagine a sheep going out in the midst of wolves. Hi, everybody. You know, and what's the sheep thinking? I'm going to be eaten. That's what it's thinking, you know. And it's but it remembers that Jesus or God sent him out there. He said, I send you out. This is Jesus. I send you out as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Bah, bah. You know, rah, you know. And the wolves are just ready to devour. But here's the deal. Because you're a sheep, remember your shepherd. Call upon the shepherd. Shepherd, you sent me here, right, with these wolves. Could you help? I'm not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to do something. Did you know that the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep? Did you know that when he sends you out, that he actually will come along with you? I'll never leave you or forsake you, he said. So all of a sudden, the sheep, instead of biting at the wolves, because sheep can't bite at wolves, instead of being et, they decided to call on Jesus. Jesus, ma! And Jesus was right there. I said, what are you worried about? The wolves are here. Everybody's a wolf. Have anybody discovered that the world is full of wolves? And usually your husband, you know, so on. People close to you, church pastors, everybody. Everybody's a wolf. And so you're the only innocent person. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm just a sweet little lamb. And I'm not one of the wolves. All right. Anyway, he sends you out in the midst of the wolves, so you'll call upon him. And when you call upon him, he will answer, right? Jesus! Jesus! But he will answer. And he's just saying, I'm coming after, I have to finish up my lunch here. And he'll be there. And did you know that Jesus can, with just a word, close up the mouth of the lions? With just a word, he can close up the mouth of those wolves. They're like ravening wolves and so on, trying to devour you. But he could stop them at any time. Did you know that? At any time. Did you know that's how we've survived so far? And we will never go away. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will and they will not. I will and they will not. Wow. That's a strong swearing. That's a strong promise by God. David, don't worry. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the wolves are having a trouble. The gates of hell, they're having a lot of difficulty. They're trying to get all together. I don't know if you noticed that, but the one thing the world is doing is trying to get all together. And Obama's on the right track there because he's trying to get everybody together. He's trying to get America to be liked again and get along with everybody kind of thing. Well, why would the world come together? Believe me, it's not for a good purpose. Beware, O kings of the earth, kiss the Son while he may be found. In other words, you better get right with Jesus and don't worry about getting the world together, because you know what's going to happen? This world is going to conspire. The kings of the earth set themselves. They've decided to gather together against the Lord and his anointed. It'll never happen. You know what the Lord's doing when that happens? He sees all of the world, united nations, gathering together, conspiring, talking, and so on and so forth. And here's what he does. He starts laughing. He laughs. It says he holds them in derision. They're thinking to rebel against his idea, because we don't like being vulnerable like wolves surrounded by, and we're just sheep. We don't like that vulnerability. We want the American dream. We want security. We want things to go our way. We hate suffering, right? Well, he sends you out in the midst of wolves deliberately. He puts Israel in the midst of the nations that hate his guts deliberately. He does everything deliberately. He puts Daniel in the lion's den deliberately. He sends the three children into the furnace deliberately. He does everything like that just to say one thing. Stay close to me, you'll be okay. Wander from me, you'll be devoured. So isn't that cute? Don't you think that's cute? I do. I think that's clever. That is God's way of saying, told you. It's like, I promised I'd never leave you or forsake you. I was right there. Well, I forgot your number. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. You better not forget his name. If he has a name that's above every name. So when you call on Jesus, you say, well, I believe that, Pastor, but when it comes right down to it, I kind of don't. Because you're used to taking care of yourself, right? You're used to taking care of yourself. You see, you're walking after the flesh. But if you're in Christ Jesus, even though you're walking after the flesh, you're actually not walking after the flesh because he said you're not. So you're walking after the Spirit. So just remember that even though you didn't call out, you did call out because Jesus Christ called out, because he is all your righteousness. So you win anyway. Don't you like it where you've already won before you even try? Before you even do anything? Did you know there's nothing you can do? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Did you know there's nothing you can do? You can't do anything because he's already done everything. Remember on the cross, he said, it's finished. What? Everything. everything. I saved you. I'm also not just the Savior. I'm also the Lord. I'm the King. He even wrote it on the little thing in case you forgot it. It didn't say Savior. It said King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know, it said Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. It didn't say anything about Savior. But he was the Savior, dying for us, yet he was our King. Yet to be a king, he had to prove one thing. If you're really a leader, you're going to be a servant first. You're going to make sure the wife is okay. You're going to take care of your mother first. You're going to take care of your disciples, your followers. So Jesus on the cross wasn't even thinking about himself. All he was doing was saying, okay, it's all over with. Finished. Everything. I've done everything. Mom, by the way, this is John. That's your son. That's your mom. It's quick. But he just took care of everything. Why? Foreknowledge. Their father told him, John will live longer than the others. He's young, for one thing. But John's going to live to the end of the age. He lived for 70 more years after that. He was a young man. But he lived for 70 more years. Remember, Book of Revelation? He asked John to dictate that, sent an angel down, told John what to write. That was the first book Jesus ever wrote. That was the only book Jesus ever wrote, Book of Revelation. Most people hate the Book of Revelation. You're wrong. That is the happiest book in the Bible. Most people don't like it because you don't understand the secret to it. There is a little key to it. Did you know what the key is? That all the wrath belongs to the green, and all the good stuff, that belongs to you. I don't know if you know that. So when you read it, it's a happy book, because it's full of blessing. It's full of wonderful things. It tells you who wins in the end. We win. That's all you want to do is read the end of the book. Forget the first part, just read the last part. You know, just read it. You know, forget all those boils and, you know, birds and frogs and all that stuff. Forget that. That's for the green. That's for those that chose, because Jesus did not choose them. He didn't predestinate them. He didn't say in the beginning, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. He didn't do that. He had foreknowledge. He knew you were going to heaven. He knew you were going to hell. And he knew no matter what he would tell you and what he would do for you, you would never be grateful and you'd never follow him because you wouldn't believe that he was your goodness. It wasn't that you broke the Ten Commandments. It wasn't that you committed adultery. It wasn't that you know, followed after other gods. He didn't care about any of that. The only sin is that you didn't believe that Jesus, after you did all of that, said, I forgive you, and I'll cover all that. Now I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You just didn't believe that. You didn't believe that. You believe he'd forgive you for your sins, but you didn't believe he would actually transform you and cause you to make not only the image restored, but he would restore even the likeness. You just didn't believe that. Well, that's because your pastor never told you, but now I have, so now you're guilty. So I can wash my hands of that. I've made that clear. Did I make that clear? Was I clear? I could repeat it. It's up to you. You have the freedom. You have the right. Because anyone whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Amen? So the best is yet to come. And now we only have a few months left for this year for God to prove that what he said was you'll break out on the right hand, that's spiritual, and you'll break out on the left hand. That means the world will actually see it. Economically, politically, and socially. Those are not your problems. That's just the fruit of what's going to happen when you break out over here, then you get this. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. You want your economy back? There it is. You want your society to be together and united? There it is. Do you think God couldn't do that? He can do anything he wants. It's up to you. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the world. If your light be dim, then the world's in deep trouble. If your salt is no longer salty, then it's trodden under foot of men. It's of no value. So the reason that you're here as a church is not to get yourself into heaven. You're already going to heaven. The reason is to get others into heaven, and they can't see your faith, and they can't see the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. They can only see your fruit. And if you don't have any, they don't see any. So if the church doesn't break out on the right hand, then nothing's going to happen on the left hand. So the right hand is before the left hand. Now, that's actually going to happen. He's not asking you to join it. He's only saying to you, that's what I'm going to do. And he's just seeing how many will believe what he just said. That something great and powerful is about to happen. It's so big, I don't believe it has anything to do with the election. I don't believe it has anything to do with Democrats and Republicans. And I don't believe it has anything to do with economic, you know, turns and all that. I think it has to do strictly and totally with the bride making herself ready. And you can't do it because he does it all. And he said on the cross, it's finished. I didn't just finish, you know, covering you with the blood as Savior. I also jumped up again 3 days later. And he jumped up again. And he said, here I am, King. And now I'm going to finish what I just said on the cross was finished. I'm going to finish the rest of what wasn't finished, what was finished. When I said finished, I mean everything was finished. But now I'm going to finish what I said was finished. So now he's working it out because it doth not appear. It doesn't yet appear what you shall be, but you already are. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So you're already a new creation. You're already a Christian. You're already in Christ. You're already walking by the Spirit. You're already walking in love. You're already full of love for your neighbor, for your enemies, for everybody. You care for everybody. If you believe that, happy are you. So who believes it? You believe that? You believe that? You believe that? You believe that? Wow, that's amazing. So we're going to break out. Break out is big. I mean, stretch out your cords. Strengthen your stakes. I mean, get that tent, just a little tent instead of a pup tent. Turn it in for a big one. What if that happened right here in Dallas-Fort Worth? I mean, really, actually. What do you think would happen in this city? What if what God said was literal and not just figurative? What if he actually was literally going to do it? I mean, let's say 1,000 people got saved. Could they fit in this church? No. You can't get more than 120 or 30 or maybe 200 if you crammed them up and down the aisles and put chairs up and so on. Maybe 250 at the most. So that's not breaking out. That would be nice. You know, we could pay the bills and hire David back again and stuff like that. But really, the truth is that if you're really going to reach the world on the left hand, you have to have the truth on the right hand, spiritually born again, spirit-filled, done with all your sin. You're no longer letting sin rule and reign over you. Before he gives you something, he just wanted you to see that with all your power and smarts and everything, you can't do anything. Now the world, did you know the United States is being judged right now? Let judgment begin in the household of God. He's not after the United States, he's after us. He's not after you, he's after your pastor. Right? Because if your pastor doesn't tell you the truth, then you're not going to hear the truth. Go somewhere else where you can get it. You have to go where you get the truth so that the truth will set you free. Amen? So you have never heard me give you a bad ever, and you never will. I only have good news. The good news is it's already done, and there's nothing left but to thank and praise and adore. That's it. Worship. That's all there is. Everything's been done. The only work left is the work of thanks, praise, and adore. But listen to that work. It's a work that isn't a work. Why? Because the one you're praising, the one you're thanking, the one you're adoring has done everything. It's finished. So therefore, I'm thanking him that there's nothing more to do because he did it all and he did it for me. And I'm praising him for who he is because he's the one that did it all and did it for me. And I'm adoring him because he happens to be my bridegroom and he loves me and he just tickle pink with me. He's just so excited about me. He totally loves me. Now, you also love me, which I deeply appreciate, and it's really great. But it has nothing to do with you. That was actually with Jesus. It's just anybody that belongs to him, whom he's not only the Savior over and forgives you for not loving me, but then he also causes you to love me just like a husband to a wife. But you actually love me with all your heart. So you want to say it, Pastor Jim, I love you. Oh, I love that. That is so good. It just sounds right. It just sounds correct. But I also love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Even if you haven't seen it, it doesn't matter. Too bad. He did it. And when he did it, he did it. And it's done. It's did-ed. Now, all I'm doing is thanking him for that. All I'm doing is praising him for that. There's nothing more to be done. You don't have to knock the bad guys down. He'll do that. Did you know that the whore is thrown off by the beast? So you don't even do that part. All you do is withdraw from her before she gets knocked down. That means religion is going to disappear. What it means is, religion won't disappear, but what it means is it'll no longer have the power over this world. Religion will no longer be dominant. In other words, the state will realize we don't need God, and we don't need the natural law, and we don't need religion, and we don't need the church. And it will still be here, but we won't be in power anymore. Isn't that neat? Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. And then what'll happen is they'll realize their economy falls apart. That's what's happening right now. You see that? You get rid of the church, you get rid of God, you get rid of a nation that, you know, praises God and thanks God. You have a nation now that's not grateful to God. They're not looking to God for all their problems. They're looking to one another. They're solving it themselves. Well, they don't need. So the whore has already been thrown off. Babylon, Babylon the Great is fallen. And when it happens, you're going to have economic, political, and social chaos because you got rid of the right hand. That was the only hand that counted because we're the light of this world. The whole world has no light. It'll stumble in darkness until we're the light of the world. But if the light in you be darkness, and it is, the church itself doesn't have any light because it believes in Jesus, but it isn't dead yet to this world because it doesn't want to suffer. It doesn't want to go through. A father that loves his son chastens him. So you see, in order to love Peggy, I have to go through a lot of chastening. Believe me, she's hard to love. She is. She's hard to love. Tell him, Peg.
Very hard.
Very hard. And she's not nice at all, like you all think. She's nasty. She's vicious. That woman is vicious. I'm just trying to help her, you know. See, I'm trying to be nice to her, help her out. But she just snarls. You know, she just gets evil and ugly and nasty. And all I'm trying to do is love her. And she doesn't want me to love her, you see. Do you understand? It isn't like, oh, Jim, love me. Yeah, that's true. You're a new creation. Rats. She's got it down. You see, it's a powerful gospel, is that you aren't who you think you are. You're not what people say you are. What Jesus says you are, that's what you are. Now, if you believe it, so be it. He doesn't make you believe it. He just tells it to you. If you believe, so be it. If you don't believe, so be it. Now, he's predestined everybody. So whom he foreknew, he predestined. So he's called all men. Did you know that he desires not the death of any sinner? He doesn't want one sinner. Somebody who broke the Ten Commandments, the first one, the second one, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. He doesn't care. You can break all the commandments you want. You can go against the Father, go against the Son. The one thing don't do is what? After you've done all that, yield to the Holy Spirit who says, wait a minute, I just want you to know, after you've done all of that, you've sinned against the Father, you've sinned against the Son, you never appreciated it, you never do anything, that's okay. Jesus still died for you. And I'm just going to apply the blood of Jesus over you, and then I'm going to fill you with my power. Now, if you yield to that and believe in Him, you didn't believe in the Father who created you to say, be holy, you didn't believe in the Son who said, I forgive you, but at least believe in the Holy Spirit that says, let me transform you into His likeness. And He's the one that will show you that you were created for holiness and for goodness. You weren't created for sin. And you were then redeemed by the blood of Jesus so that you'd be forgiven for all your sin. And then the Holy Spirit would come and adjust you, tweak you, until you were perfectly lined up with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're in order. Father's here. Son is here. Here's the bride filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And there it is. It's all done. Now you're in perfect order. Now, that should happen among us. Forget the world. They're too hard to work with. Let's just work with the sinners we have. Judgment begins in the household of God. It doesn't begin in the world. You think He's going to fix up the world? You think He's going to fix it up so you'll be happy again? No, not going to do it. This world will never turn to where it was. Never. It's gone. It's gone forever. What's happened now? Somebody said, well, when the Republicans get in, they won't do anything. I'm going to tell you right now, it'll either be the same or worse. They can do nothing. It's up to us. We're the light. We're the salt. If the salt has lost its savor, its tastiness, if it's lost its ability to preserve the meat, if that's happened, then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out in the street and trodden underfoot of men. So that's what the ancients did with their salt. They threw it on the highways. The highways and the byways where people walked. And it's a good thing to walk on, but it's worthless. It has no intrinsic value. It has no more nutritious value. What if you are the salt of the world, but you don't have any salt? You don't have any tastiness. You have nothing to attract yourself. Do you think the world thinks that the church loves them? No, the world thinks that we're opposed to them. We're not. We actually love them. And in order for them to find that out, you must be willing to die for them. That is, give up your own personality. Give up yourself. Give up your little protecting of yourself. Go out in the midst of wolves. Go out there and be the light and the salt. Isn't that exciting? Do y'all see that? So we want to suffer, do we not? Because to the extent you suffer with Him, to that extent you'll be glorified with Him. To the extent you suffer with Him, in other words, you kill your flesh. Suffer with Him just simply means you kill your flesh. That just simply means Jim doesn't get to be Jim anymore. Now he's Jim for Peg. He's Christ in me for Peggy. You see that? He's Christ in me for you. He's Christ in me, and so on. Well, that's ruined my whole life because I had a little program going, and he just ruins it. He just overrules it. He said, no, Jim, I want to adjust you now through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to now make you like me, not just look like me, not just have the name, but I want you to have the very nature of God written on your heart and lived out in your life. Do you believe God can do that?
Yes.
Do you believe you could add anything to that? It's perfect. What he did was perfect. You think you could add a little bit? God, I'd like to add a little bit to your perfection. I just want to do my part. I want to show you that I appreciate you. You're a liar. You don't appreciate him. You're never even going to understand what he's done for you. So don't even think you could help him out a little bit even. Well, at least I want to cooperate with him. Oh, yeah, sure. You're not going to cooperate. You're going to scratch his eyes out when he comes to love you. Why? Because most of you hate yourself. Did you know that most of you hate yourself? Okay, all of you hate yourself. Did you know that? You hate yourself. Why? Because you're sinful. Because you never did live up to what God created you to be in the first place. So you all hate yourself without knowing it. You hate yourself. You think, no, I'm proud. No, you're not. You're actually proud that you think you don't hate yourself when you do hate yourself and you don't even know what you know. But God comes along and says, look, instead of discussing this stuff with you, I'm just going to tell you the truth. And then he just tells you the truth and that's it. Doesn't force you. If you want to believe what he said, it's right written down. Prototokos. Proto has two different meanings. First meaning, first in time. Second meaning, first in dignity. Okay? So two meanings. But first in time meaning you're the first. But you might be the first of, four red balls. So you're the first red ball. Here's the second red ball. Third red ball. Doesn't mean that. It means first not only in the sense that you're the first red ball. It means you are different. Absolutely unique. Never in the history of the world has there been a red ball like this. And then everything that follows that red ball is not inferior to it, but is equal to it. So you are being made by Jesus, the first ball, into the likeness of Christ. So he's not the first creature, he's the first creator of the new creation. But when did he create? When did he die? Did he die on Calvary 2,000 years ago? No. He actually died before the foundation of the world for you. His death, his resurrection, took place a long time ago when God laid that cornerstone down, threw it down and established it and said, this will never be moved. And then I'm going to save it and I'll bring it out when I need it. 4,000 years later, after there's a creation and the creation goes all crazy and it's full of darkness and chaos and so on. You remember in the beginning, God said, let there be light. That took care of the darkness. And then he said, let there be order. And he ordered it, first day, second day, third day, and so on. He ordered everything. Well, we got off right away. As soon as man got on the deal, they began to disorder everything that God ordered. It's like a little kid with blocks. You ever seen a little kid? They get all excited and they build those blocks up. And as soon as they do, they look at it and they want you to see it. And then they knock it down. They just kick it down. They love it. Well, it's easy, you see, to knock it down. But it takes a long time to build it up. Those little kids are trying so hard to get that thing built up there. And when they finally do, they're so proud of it. And they kick it down. You ever seen that? That's man. That's human beings. It's easy for us. This is called the law of entropy. It's easy for us, since we didn't create anything, to knock everything down that was created. We take every system that there is out there and mar it, ruin it. We are actually the decayer of this city, of this nation, of this world, of everything that God has given us. But God is so smart that he knows how to bring it back and restore it. That's where he called us. See how smart God is? He called us, Paul, you and me. He said, okay, your turn now to help me now. You knocked it down, you pick it up. And you go, I can't. He said, okay, I forgive you, and I'll do it for you. Wow, what for? I don't know. It's the Father's good pleasure, the one that sent me, to give you the kingdom. So even though it's all knocked down, he can restore it like that. Now, if he could save me, he could save anybody. If he could save you, he could save anybody. I mean, that you are harder than you can imagine to work with. Amen? You are. You're not easy to work with. Like, oh, hey, choose me. It's like, you want to ruin your team? Choose me. I know how to mess up anything. Is anybody else as keen as I am and as good as I am? I can mess up anything I join. Hey, let me be part of your team. No. See, they're so smart. So Peggy was foolish to pick me. That was foolish. Isn't that neat how I tricked her? See how I tricked her? Because I pretended like I was, better than I was. I even asked her to marry me. I mean, I said it. I initiated the thing. Peg, how would you like to marry me? And of course, she was smart, so she went, And I knew right then and there she wasn't thinking the same thing I was at all. She was giving it some thought. Like, I said, by the way, Peg, you have 5 minutes to answer. So, you want to marry me? Yes, no. You know, so that was it. So, kind of a little trick. So, she could have said, well, she could have said a lot of things. But she just said, well, I don't want anyone else to have you. And I took that as a, hallelujah, yes, I want to marry you. No, it was not that. It was like, I don't want anyone else to marry you. That doesn't sound like I want to be married to you. It's just, I don't want anyone else. I said, well, you know, you got 4 minutes now. You know, so anyway, so we finally got married. That's how it happened. And it was hell. It was absolute hell. But not that you would see. Actually, you know, no one saw it. No one knew. But she knew. She was miserable the whole time. Not that that was funny, which even makes it worse. Y'all see that? When she would say, well, do you love me? No. Well, what's wrong? You don't love me. No, why should I lie? I don't. Well, you're my wife, so I lie to other people. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know why you want to know, but no, I don't. Whatever you mean by it, I can tell I don't have the goods. Whatever it is, you know, if I did something, you'd want me to do it twice, and so on and so forth. I just can't. I'm a guy. You know, I'm quick. It's over with kind of thing. I move on to something else. You're looking for a long-term kind of thing. Now, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'll live with you forever. But no, I don't. I don't care for you and love you and so on and so forth. So let's get that over with now. What's the next topic? So she didn't want to go on to the next one. Well, that's horrible. You don't. I'm married to you. Well, do you love me? Let's put the shoe on your foot. Do you love me? Not loving you. And she didn't want to answer. Well, then no. What did you just say? Because it's a checkmate. You see, I just checkmated her. It's like, because whatever way she answers, if she says, yes, I do love you, that would have been a good answer. Or if she said, I didn't, I got her. See, now we're equal. So anyway, she finally, 7 hours later, says, no, I don't love you. Well, good. Then we're even. See, now, there, you could have said that 7 hours ago. But now, see, it's all fair. I don't love you, you don't love me, but, you know, we're doing fine. What's the big deal? Why do we have to love each other? That's Hollywood. No, nobody believes in that. Y'all understand? At any rate, the point is that spoils any romance you might have. You know, but we could put on a record or something, drink a little wine, and then be okay. No. Ain't doing it. So you just have to kind of tough it out. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you, just like Jesus. You know, not going anywhere. But no, I don't have any love. The reason I'm not going to love you is because I don't have any love in me. I was never loved, and I don't love anybody, and I know you don't either. I know you don't love me. I could tell that the first few minutes of when we were married, it was over. I knew, first few minutes, I knew, uh-oh. Because I went up to her and I said, Peg, let's go, honeymoon, let's go, you know. And she was just with her family and drinking her champagne and stuff and having a good time. And says, let's go. And she just totally, she didn't say no, she just totally ignored me. You know, just walked away. And I said, so I confronted her again. Peg, it's a half an hour ago that I said, let's go. Let's go now, let's go. I don't want to be here talking to your people and all this stuff. I want to go, you know. I don't know how many hours we had to drive, 4 hours, whatever, way up into Vermont or something. New Hampshire. Peggy knows all the details. At any rate, and, you know, I mean, the evening will be gone by the time we get there, and this is our, you know, first night. Let's have some time together, you know. But now it's, you know, like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but it'll be dark by the time we get up there, so let's go. She just, you know, smiles at me or something, doesn't hear me again.
No concept of time.
Yeah, she had no. But anyways, now this is irking me big time. Like, I thought I was the head. I thought when I got married, and he said that in the little thing. He said that. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, so on. Did you hear that, Peg? I'm the head now. I know when we've been dating, you've always done your own thing, but now that we're married, I'm the boss. So she totally ignored me. So the third time, Peg, I want to go. What? What? Remember I said to you before? No, I don't recall that. Well, you had too much champagne. I want to go now, and I want to go now. It'll be late. Okay. Well, I could tell right there, our marriage is over. I wasn't mad at her. I was mad at me for marrying her. Look, you just married an illusion. You thought when you got married, she'd be submitted to you. See, it's over with. See, heard the minister and didn't believe him. So this is the God's truth. This is actually,
the love part.
You like the love part?
You
the other part? Yeah, but I wasn't a Christian.
No, I know, but I wasn't either.
Well, then you deceived me. See, it's not my fault. So it's a perfect marriage. How does it work, Jesus? If it weren't for Jesus, we would never have made it. Do y'all understand that? I mean, we'd have still been married, but it wouldn't have worked. There's a lot of ways you can be in a marriage that doesn't work. Did you know that? You can have two separate lives. You can fantasize and live in your own little world. There's a ton of things you can do. You can be an alcoholic. You can be a drug addict. You can be a workaholic. You know, there's a ton of ways to get around that. So that wasn't the problem. The problem is, I made a big mistake. I just did that on my own. Now I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to live with that. So now what? But every 6 months she would ask me the question again. Do you love me now? It's like, I've cooked for you. I've, you know, done this. I go to work. And I'm just a student going to school. I'm not doing anything. I'm just having a blast going to school. Stay, do what I want, go when I want, come when I want. And she's working hard and putting everything into it, 100%. She's giving everything she's got to it. You do my papers. And we have a photograph of her doing my papers, and she looks really miserable. And it's like, yeah, that was Manasseh's paper. But anyway, yeah, right. But anyway, she resented everything that I didn't do and did do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It was great. And I didn't care. You know, it's like, well, too bad you married me. You know, so that's your own fault. So there you have it. Do y'all see that? You're in the same marriage, yes.
But God is good, and it turned out good.
Turned out perfect. Perfect, perfect. Not only do we have perfect children, perfect daughter-in-law, that's Mary. Perfect son-in-laws. I mean, they're perfect. God has blessed us. Perfect church, perfect everything. Why? Because of Jesus. Everything is renewed when you get to Jesus. You don't come as a non-sinner. You come as a sinner. And when you come, as I did, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't believe in Jesus at all. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in the devil. I didn't believe in anything. Just believed in, you know, doing what I did. But Jesus Christ can take anybody at any time and turn them. That's the greatest thing in the world. And I fell in love with Jesus when I fell in love with Jesus. It was 100%. And then Jesus taught me how to love my mother, to love my wife, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then to love everybody. Wow, that is amazing. How can that happen? That's impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. So he can take your life and give you 100% happiness and joy in this world. Now, how many have that? Four people. Okay. Six. Eight. Okay, I'll ask it again. How many have joy unspeakable and full of glory?
Hallelujah.
Now, how many, I mean, truly have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Now, how many have it by faith? Oh, yeah. I just asked the wrong question. See, sometimes teachers ask the wrong question. So they have to know how to ask the right question, which doesn't show how stupid you are, but how brilliant you are. And that shows whether the teacher was a good teacher or not. So if the student answers wrong, that shows you weren't a teacher. Because maybe they learn by hearing, maybe they learn by seeing, maybe they learn by touch. But however they learn, it's you, the teacher, that needs to find out how they learn so they can all learn. Do y'all see that? Jesus said, I lost not one. And I don't believe we will lose any. I believe that that is a pattern for everybody, that we shouldn't lose one that was slated or predestined for eternal life. And that means you, not only will we not lose you, but you will be perfected. When you see Jesus, you will absolutely, and people will, they'll stand up. This will be all angels, of course, in the wedding. They'll all be looking, wow, she looks just like him. They're perfectly matched, like Peggy and I. Isn't that powerful? Now, why did Peggy and I get married? Well, neither of us knew. But, you know, why did we get married? I say today, Jesus. Totally Jesus. She's the perfect wife. and I was the perfect husband for her. Why? Because of God. God's smart. Even though I was a pagan, even though I didn't believe in God, even though any of that made no difference. God can take anything and renew it, restore it to its original, not condition, but his original purpose. We're not going back to Adam. We're going back to God's original purpose. And it wasn't that Adam be innocent. It was that Adam sin and then meets Jesus, believes, and then is filled with the Holy Spirit, is changed and altered. That was God's original purpose. He never intended for anybody not to sin. He intended, he didn't make you sin. He told you not to, but he intended for you knowing by foreknowledge. He didn't make you do this. By foreknowledge, he knew everybody will rebel. All you like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. But I will send my son down, and I will take out at least billions. Nobody knows the number, but at least billions. Maybe it's a tithe. No, nobody knows the full number. But whatever it is, he's going to have a numberless host. You can't even number it. And it's only a remnant. That means the bulk of humanity will perish and fall away. You may resent God for that. You may think you know better than he does, but you're wrong. God is a loving father. He is always a loving father. And anyone that goes to hell goes on their own desire. Because he's done everything to win us. And the most wonderful thing he's done at all is you. You're the light of the world. You're the salt. How could the world resist you? You see what I'm saying? You see the wisdom of God to use you, especially in these last days. You see, you are the light. And he knows you'll not just have faith, but you'll also have sanctification and glorification. And men, when they see your good works, they'll know, that person died. That person's not of the world. They're not like us. And when we hurt them, they praised us. They praised God. They said, you know, I love you anyway, I forgive you anyway, no matter what. Love always beats hate. Light always beats darkness. Truth always beats lie. You will survive forever and ever because Jesus Christ is your light. He is your truth. He is everything. He is everything. He is your all in all. Amen. God is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that everything is true. And everything sets us free. And the best has been saved till the last. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor that we've all been, all of us, predestined not only to live, but to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, priest and King, the one that forgives us and the one that transforms us into his likeness, so that we will stand before you someday with nothing to our own account, but everything to thank and praise and adore you, not just in the world to come, but in this world, for you have done it all. You have done everything for us. You loved us with a perfect love. I thank you for a perfect wife. I thank you for a perfect church. I thank you, Lord God, that no matter what the eye says, your word is greater. No matter what I believe, the truth is what you have said. No matter what we think, our thoughts need to be taken captive to the Word of God. No matter what we wish, that's not truly what we wish or desire, because you are our desire. You are our thoughts. You are our emotions. You are our actions. You are everything we have ever wanted or needed. And so we give you all the praise in your blessed, holy, and wondrous name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.